tonight. Stand to your feet if you are able. Don't grab your Bible, put it down. How many ever heard a preacher tell you to put your Bible down? I've done a little math a moment ago, and as best of my calculations, there are 86,400 seconds in a day, a 24-hour period. How many of you have 30 of those to spare? Put both hands in the air if you would. For the next 30 seconds, I'm going to time it. I want you to give God the best praise offering that you can possibly give Him of your own free will right now. Go ahead and go. Father, Lord, I praise You tonight. Worship You tonight, Father. Thank You. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I thank You, God. Lord, I just worship You tonight, Father. I don't ask You for anything, but God, I just lift up Your name in praise right this very moment, God. Invite You into this house, Father. Have Your way tonight, Father. Lord, I love You and I praise You and I thank You for all that You do, God. Worship You tonight in spirit and truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, marada shandalana makaria. Ila motoria sharadana matia tora diaradai. Amazing what happens when we praise God, isn't it? Amen. When we come together in one mind and one accord for one purpose, to lift Him up. It's not about the preacher tonight at church. It's about Him. Now I want you to grab your Bibles. Now grab your Bibles. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. As Brother Ted has emphasized, we've had different sermons and scriptures all week long, and it's going to be different again tonight. Brother Ted texted me yesterday at 9:57 a.m. He didn't know it, but at 9 o'clock a.m. as I was going into the locker room at work, the Lord spoke three words to me. And how many of you know tonight when God speaks three words, He can tell you more in three words than I can tell you in 3 days? I began to dig and research, and the Lord spoke this to me. Grab your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 2, and when you get there, I want you to find verse 11. The Lord spoke three words to me, church, and I want you to pay particular attention to these words, and those words are gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I have never in my Christian life heard another minister preach on this. This is new to me, so you cannot. I didn't go to www.sermonoftheday.com. God spoke this to me, and I'm going to give it to you. I know it's not Christmas time. You hear what I'm saying. I know it's not Christmas time, but God can take a message that was meant for Christmas and about Christmas, and He can use it in your life right now. And I believe this is for tonight because God gave it to me, and I'm going to give it to you. You all pray for me that I give this to you the way God gave it to me, because He gave me some good stuff in this, and I want to give it to you. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, two verses. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you tonight for your presence in this place. God, I feel your sweet spirit stirring in the air, God, and I know, Lord, that you want to do something here tonight, Father. Lord, you want to touch these people for their faithfulness during this revival. Father, you want to move, you want to heal, you want to deliver and set free tonight. Father, I pray, God, Lord, that you do those works in this house. That your spirit would have the liberty here to do those works. That we would have the freedom in this house, God, to worship you ever how we see fit and ever what you lay on our hearts, Father. Let us be obedient unto those things. Father, I pray tonight you'd hide me behind the cross, that you'd anoint these lips of clay, and Father, that you would touch around this altar, Father, Lord, that those who are faithful and obedient to your calling, when they come, God, you give them what they require and what they ask for, according to your word. In Jesus' name I ask tonight. And every child of God said, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. I'm kind of excited in a way, and I'm nervous in another way. Because I'm excited because I know this is from God. And I'm nervous because I want to give it to you exactly in the best way I can and how God gave it to me. But when the Lord gave me these scriptures as I was going into the locker room, I didn't even know. Brother Ted had warned me that Brother Tim might not be here, but I hadn't prepared a thing. I thought, well, Brother Tim will be here. I'm not worried about it. But when God spoke these words to me, I immediately began to say, God, what is this for and what is this about? I didn't know. When God speaks to us, sometimes He speaks in a mystery. He gives you just enough pieces of the puzzle for you to figure it out on your own. And I began to put these pieces of the puzzle together, and I immediately went out to my phone where it was laying out there, and I have a little app on it. It's called Eastward, and some of you know what I'm talking about, and it's a wonderful little tool that you can bring up all kinds of scriptures and scripture references and Greek and Hebrew languages and all these things. And I began to thumb through and look at this and trying to figure out and praying and asking God and I said, Lord, what's it about? And a few minutes later, I got a text. And I said, well, I guess I know what I'm preaching. You hear what I'm saying? The Lord knows what He's doing sometimes way before we ever get the picture. You hear what I'm saying? I had a thought the other day, Brother Turner. I just wonder what the Israelites thought when they were praying and fasting in Egypt for those 400 years. Wonder what they were thinking those last year or so before Moses got there. Because you see, Moses was already on his way. Oh, hear me now. See, that's the way we are sometimes, church. We pray and fast and seek God's face for an answer, but sometimes we don't even realize the answer is already on its way. You hear what I'm saying? I'm glad to know that I serve a God that's so much bigger than I am and knows so much more than I am. His ways are higher than my ways and His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I'm so glad of that tonight. But the Bible says, and we know the Christmas story when the Magi came and they came seeking the infant child Jesus, the prophesied one, the one who had been prophesied about. And according to Scripture, when they got to Bethlehem where He was at and He was laying in the manger, and we know the Christmas story since we were knee-high to a grasshopper. We've heard it in church, right? In children's church and Sunday school and Bible studies. And we know all the story. But did you ever read the part there where they said when they got there, they came into the house? Oh, can I tell you tonight, church, maybe we need to be like the three wise men. Maybe we need to come into the house. You say, oh, we inside the church building. I'm not talking about the four walls of this building. Maybe some of us Christians, like Sister Jenny preached about last night, maybe some of us need to get back in the house. You hear what I'm saying? I understand you saved, sanctified, and maybe full of the Holy Ghost. Maybe not. That's up for debate. But you're not in the house. You're not where you need to be. Because you see, I found out, Brother Turner, when I get where I need to be, that's in God's presence. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? He may be just a little child right now, but he's coming back later on. You see, we got the end of the book. These Magi were truly wise men. They understood that this little baby, like that one right there, that little baby, one day he's going to be a king. And he's coming back for his children on a white horse. We understand that, but all they could see was a little child. But the Bible says they came into the house. And the Bible says when they got into the house, see, they knew their proper position. The Bible says what? They fell down and worshiped Him. I believe it would do the church some good if we would get back to some old-fashioned Holy Ghost worship. I'm not talking about standing up with our hands in our air. I'm talking about laying on our face prostrate before the Almighty God. You hear what I'm saying? Anybody ever hear of a man named Brother Small? Anybody ever heard of an old preacher named Brother Small? You see, I'm one of these people watchers. I observe people, like my elders. And I'm not saying you're my elder, but you're my sister. And I'm saying that I observe your lifestyle, and I appreciate the way you live your lifestyle. And Brother Turner, I appreciate the way you live your lifestyle. Sister Turner, I don't leave anybody out, but I watch people. And I watch this man.
how he lived his life, how he set an example before others. And I'm talking about being prostrate before God, falling down and worshiping God. We had a tent revival, and some of you don't know this, that we're supposedly involved in this, but you don't know this. We had a tent revival several years ago on Park Street in the church, outside the building. We had a tent set up. Had some good moves from God in that service, let me tell you what. Three nights of tent revival, two services a night. How many of you would sit through two preachers? Oh, man, I found out, Brother Ted, when you're hungry. Oh, God will fill your plate up. He'll give you so much you can't handle it. But we would have a prayer meeting before we'd start that tent revival. And I looked over one night. We all gathered around laying hands one on another. And I looked around one night, Brother Turner. And here this man is, got cancer, been battling cancer, sick in body. And I looked over, and he's laying out over here in the floor. Prostrate, crying out to God because it was his night to preach. And he wanted to hear from God. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? That man was showing me right there there's something to it. The people can say, well, you can be in any place in the world and worship God. Let me tell you what, you can be on your face and worship God. I've been on my face before, not physically, but spiritually on my face, Brother Turner. Been whooped all over by every kind of demon in hell. Been laying on my face, and all I could do was call on Almighty God to deliver me, to lift me up and set me back on my feet. You see, you can learn something by watching and your elders and how they live their lives. You see, that's what happens to the modern day church, Brother Turner. We don't see the example that was set before us because it's uncomfortable. How many of us would be willing to get up here right now and lay down on our face and worship him till he showed up? We throw the microphone down right now and just come on. You want to? Till God shows up in the house. You hear what I'm saying? I found out, Brother Ted, that when people get serious with God, God gets serious right back with them. My Bible tells me if I draw nigh to God, I make the first step towards him. Guess what? He makes a step towards me. Oh, I found out whenever I take two steps towards God, guess what? He takes two steps towards me. We meet in the middle. Oh, but they knew what it was to worship. It may have been a baby. Oh, but he was a master. He was the master in the flesh. And they knew their proper position on their face before God. Church, we need to learn our proper position. You see, we get so heady and high-minded. I'm the preacher. I got my degrees on the wall, and I'm this and I'm that, and I've got this title in the church, and I drive the bus, and I clean the commodes, and I clean the floors. I'm the head of the music. I'm the head of worship. You ain't the head of nothing. What God ain't made you the head of. You hear what I'm saying tonight? My Bible tells me you're the head and not the tail. You're the head because God made you the head, not because you got there of your own free will. You hear what this preacher's saying tonight? If it was up to you in your flesh, you'd be the tail. Oh, glory. Told you I came to preach revival tonight. You hear what I'm saying? But I want to talk to you tonight about three things. The title of my message is Gold, Frankincense, and Myrrh. Can I preach now? Anybody ever stop and wonder why they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Just wonder. Just curious. Show of hands. Anybody ever? We know the Bible story. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got 6 people, 7 people in the house that ever actually stopped and thought, why did they bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh? What value are gold, frankincense, and myrrh to a little Jewish couple who just had a baby and don't even have a home of their own? How many of you even know what frankincense and myrrh are? We all know what gold is. How many of you know what frankincense and myrrh even are? Amen. Some of us who've studied and done a little digging, we know what frankincense and myrrh is. I've preached about myrrh before, and I'm going to go back around and get to that, but I've never preached this message, so hold on. Because you see, what gold represents here, I printed some stuff off the internet that I found very fascinating. Gold in the Bible has always stood for divinity, in case you're wondering. It's always been a divine figure. Even the pagan gods, if you will, were made out of gold. That's why, I could get in trouble right here. That's why some Gentiles had some troubles because they always worshiped gold, or their gods were made out of gold, and they didn't understand and realize that divinity was represented by gold. How many of us, I preached a message here about the candlestick in the tabernacle one time, and we figured out that the lampstand weighed about 100 pounds in solid gold. 100 pounds of solid gold. That was the lampstand. And how many of us know that the Ark of the Covenant was made out of acacia wood? The sides of it and the bottom were made out of acacia wood, but the top of it, the mercy seat, Brother Turner, was made out of solid gold. The cherubim that sit on top of the mercy seat were made out of solid gold. Gold represents, in the Bible, gold represents divinity, that which is like God. And it should not surprise us to learn that gold is mentioned from the beginning to the end in the Bible. Just as God has always been, gold appears at the beginning of creation in the Garden of Eden. The name of the first river is Pishon. It flows around the whole land of Havilah. where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. That's Genesis 2, 11 and 12. You see, tonight I find it fascinating, Brother Turner, that gold is representing God there. I believe it's fascinating that these wise men brought the Son of Man gold. The first gift was gold. They brought to Him. It represented His divinity. They knew, church, they knew He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the flesh in a little child. I want you to stop and think about their intelligence for just a moment. Don't tell me that they did not receive a divine revelation on who this was they were worshiping. How else would they know, out of all the children who were born in Israel and all the children born in Bethlehem, how would they have known that that was the one? Don't tell me God don't speak to people. God has a way to get His message through when it seems to be there is no way. And you have to stop and remember before Jesus Christ came, according to the book of Malachi, that there was silence for about 400 years. Yet somehow these wise men received a divine revelation. You say, this is a revival. What are you doing trying to teach and preach on this? I don't know. I don't understand. God has a purpose for this. And we'll get to it in just a few moments, I hope. But I want you to understand in Genesis 2:11, the Bible says that they brought, that in the book of Genesis, there was gold of that land and it was good gold. Can I tell you tonight, whenever we bring something to God, we need to, let me emphasize tonight that we need to bring something good to God. You can bring something that's gold, but it's not always pure gold. It can look like gold spiritually to you. Oh, but my Bible tells me, but my most righteous deeds are but filthy rags at the foot of God. Because you see, we need to bring something pure and holy and costly, something special to Him when we come to worship Him. According to Scripture, we're supposed to worship Him in spirit and truth. He wants nothing but our best, the first fruits of your offerings, not the last and the leftovers. And I understand you may have worked already 50 hours this week, but I'm here to tell you tonight that it's most important that you give God your best, not your leftovers. You give God the first 10, not the last 10. You see, that's easy for us to do today in our modern day world. It's easy for us to give God the last 10% because I'm tired. I don't feel good. Let me tell you. Nope, I ain't going to do it. No. I get in trouble there. Give Him good gold. Purified gold, if you will. How do you purify gold? You run that sucker through the fire. Oh, well, I could preach on the fire tonight. You see, and also, the gold talked about in the Bible, and it says, and it was what the New Jerusalem is made of at the end of this creation. It was in the beginning, and the gold of Pishon was in the, around the city of Havilah. There was gold talked about there, and we know the new city coming down out of heaven is made out of gold. Amen? You follow me? Hold on. We might get a little deep here in just a few moments, but just bear with me till the end. Hopefully, I can make all this make sense. I hope. The New Jerusalem is made at the end of this creation. The material of the wall is jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. That's Revelations 21, 18, and 21. Now, hold on just a minute. You see, we need to bring God our best. We need to bring God our finest. Listen, the gift of gold was given to Jesus to symbolize that He was God in the flesh. That's why those wise men gave it to Him to start with. They didn't give it to Him for no other reason. I mean, obviously gold had money, monetary value that this young couple could use to support themselves and help their family. But they gave it to Him not for the money's sake, Brother Turner, but they gave it to Him because it represented Him being the divine, one and only Son of God. That's why they gave it to Him. Oh, can I tell you tonight, when we bring our gift of gold before God, we need to sell out. Church, we need to sell out to God, lock, stock, and barrel, as old timers used to say, 110%. Give Him our first and our finest, not our leftovers and our, it might do, and I hope this pleases you, God. I'll patty cake and play church here in just a few minutes, and we'll get by, and oh boy, I hope that preacher shuts up here in the next 15 minutes so I can get home and get to bed. I'm tired and I got to work tomorrow. Yes, I know that, but God will bless you if you'll just hang with me for just a few moments. But let me tell you what, we need to give God our best. We need to sell out completely to Him. That gold represents being sold out to God, giving Him your very best, the most expensive thing that you've got, and sometimes that's our pride. Hear me now. That's our pride. See, I got the microphone right now. I can embarrass you. I can make you stand up, make you do this, and make you do that if you want to. We break that old pride. I'm not going to do that. Okay, somebody back here. Everybody sitting back there going, whoo. I thought he's going to make me stand up and come up front there for a minute. I might do it before it's over with. We can't have a good time in church, Brother Turner. Praise God. I'm here to preach the Word of God and have a good time and enjoy myself. I'm sorry. I don't know how much longer I've got left here. Everybody keeps asking me, can I go down the rabbit trail? Everybody keeps asking me, where are you going after MIP? Where are you going after MIP? I'm going where God leads me. That's where I'm going. I don't have an answer right now because I'm not heard from God. you. I'm not either. I'm waiting on an answer. When I get the answer, y'all be the first to know. We might stay here. We might go. I don't know. You might have to put up with me for another sermon or two, and you might not have to put up with me anymore. See, my Bible tells me that I'm supposed to cast all my cares upon Him, Brother Turner, getting back to gold. Give it all to Him. Church, sometimes we want to come to an altar prayer and God bless this and touch this. But Lord, don't go over there. I'm holding that back because I believe I can take care of that, Brother Turner. I believe I can handle that situation. I don't want to give that to God. That would be embarrassing. I told you pride is going to cost you something, didn't I? Pride will get in your way. Pride will cause you to stumble. Pride will cause you to fall. Pride will send you to hell if you're not careful. You fall out of the will of God and you'll be right sitting right. I can preach mean right now. If you fall out of the will of God, look out. You hear what I'm saying? We need to understand tonight, church, that it is the Lord's intention for us to give Him pure gold first. Bring your all up here to this altar prayer. When you got saved, what did you do? You brought all your sins up here, didn't you? When you got saved, didn't you bring all your sins or did you keep some of them? You hear what I'm saying tonight? When these wise men, there's something spiritually symbolic about these gifts that these wise men give Jesus Christ when He was born. And I want you to understand those gifts. There's something spiritually symbolic to each gift that they gave Him. And I believe that it's not coincidence. See, I don't think God does things by accident or coincidence. He has a divine purpose for each thing if you're willing to dig into it and understand what those mean. When you got saved, did you give God all? Every sin you had, did you give them all or did you keep some of them? According to Scripture, Brother Turner, I don't think I can be saved unless I cast all my cares upon Him. Unless I confess my sins before Him, I can't be saved. I have to get rid of all of them, don't you? You hear what I'm saying tonight? I believe it's important, church, that we give God our best gold. We give Him the first fruits of our labors. We give Him all of our cares, all of our troubles. We don't hold nothing back. Oh, that way, see, whenever you give God your gold, your best, and you give Him all your sins, you're acknowledging Him as the Son of God. Hallelujah. See, there's a spiritual significance to gold. Next time you look at a gold watch, I want you to think about that. Next time you look at a gold necklace, I want you to think about that. Well, that represents divine. That represents divinity. That represents Him being Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm going on. Frankincense. God gave Him gold and then they gave Him frankincense. How many of you know in Jesus' day when He was born, which one was the most expensive? Gold, frankincense, or myrrh? Which one? Frankincense. You know why? You know why? See, today's world is gold. Gold is by far the most expensive thing around, I reckon. I don't know how much it's worth anymore. They said that gold couldn't go down, but it did. Shows you how much they know. But in the New Testament times, when Jesus was born, frankincense was by far more valuable than gold. But it was a second gift given to Him. They gave Him gold first, and they gave Him frankincense. How many of us know what frankincense is? It's basically, can I break it down to you in today's language? It's incense. It's something to be burned. It gives off a sweet fragrance. It's an aroma. I don't know how else to put it today, but it was very expensive. And the reason it was very expensive is it was very, very hard to obtain. And it was only collected in certain parts of the world. It was collected in the remote parts of Arabia, North Africa, and India. And in the Hebrew language, the name for frankincense is Laboni, which means white. Now, I want to read to you something here about frankincense. It maybe help you understand it a little bit. And it says, this is a word in Hebrew origin. It means white, the Laboni. And it speaks of holiness and righteousness. It is first used in Exodus chapter 30, verse 34 through 36. And it says, then the Lord said to Moses, take of yourself spices, stacked, ansha, galbanum, spices with pure frankincense. There shall be an equal part of each. With it you shall make incense, a perfume, the work of a perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. You shall beat some of it very fine and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting. Oh, listen, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. This incense was placed upon the golden altar of incense by the high priest to be burned before the Lord. It was to be a sweet odor unto the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? Frankincense was the resin from a tree. It was collected or obtained by cutting the bark of the tree and letting the resin harden. It was then ground into a powder. Though it tasted bitter, it was known for how freely it burned, leaving nothing behind. This is a symbolic of a life of holiness and righteousness and being sold out to the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? They gave Jesus Christ gold, representing His divinity. Then they turned around and gave Him frankincense, representing His holiness and His separation from this world. And they knew that He was to be a sacrifice to God. His life was a sweet-smelling fragrance unto the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? Do you see the spiritual significance of what they gave Him that night? I believe some of us need to grab a hold of that and realize that we need to give God some frankincense. We need to be sold out to Him. We need to live our lives in a sold out fashion, Brother Ted. We need to be completely consumed. The Bible tells me that, but history tells me that when they burned frankincense, it completely burned. When you burn a candle today, there's some wax left over. You hear what I'm saying? When you burn oil today, there's some resin left over in the bottom of that. But let me tell you what, when you burn pure frankincense, nothing is left. But I'm telling you tonight, church, whenever the Lord gets a hold of you and you begin to burn with that Holy Ghost fire, it's a complete and it's a consuming fire. There ain't nothing left in this old flesh. Glory. We need to grab a hold of that tonight, church. I told you this wasn't a Christmas message, did I? Hallelujah. We need to understand tonight, church, some spiritual significance of what these men knew. You see, they knew He was the object of divine worship, the object of divine offering, the worship of divine praise. You see, frankincense was costly. It wasn't easy to come by. You didn't just run down to the dollar store, Sister Jenny, and grab you some frankincense. It cost you something. Oh, church, let me tell you what, God don't want just anything. And when it comes to our praise and our worship, church, we are so guilty, church, of just giving God just anything. Oh, but let me warn you tonight, church, God don't have to accept your worship. You hear what I'm saying? God has to accept your prayer whenever you confess your sins before Him because it's Scripture. And He said He would do that. But let me warn you, church, God don't have to accept your praise. God only wants your best praise. And if you can't give God your best praise, you may as well not praise at all because He will not accept it. According to Scripture, He wants your frankincense tonight. He wants your very best. He wants what it's going to cost you the most. He don't want your leftovers and your second best. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Frankincense. Anybody ever read Hebrews 13:15? That's why I had you stand up tonight. That's why I had you praise God for. I wanted you all to impress me. I will admit you impressed me. I honestly figured that if I praise God for 20 seconds, I'll be impressed. I think y'all went a little over 20. I didn't time it, but I'd say it was 2 or 3 minutes. But Brother Turner, you don't know how many churches I've been in. If I told him to do that, all you would have heard was. Come on. Yeah, we're supposed to be madly in love with this man. We're supposed to be saved by His grace. I'm supposed to be a renewed creation. I'm supposed to be a new creature made renewed by Him, have an everlasting covenant of salvation with Him. But yet the best thing we can do is, I don't buy that for just a second. I believe if you can't praise God, you need your salvation checked. I just believe if you can't praise God with all you got and give Him your very best, I just believe tonight, Sister Jenny, if you can't make a fool plumb out of yourself worshiping and praising God in spirit and truth, I question your salvation. Because you see, He gave it all for me. The least I can do is give Him my best. And you see, well, I like the revival I had at Brush Creek. You know why? Because I had to go around and pick up the little bobby pins. Oh, hallelujah. You see what I'm telling you? Them little ladies, they know how to worship God. You hear what I'm saying? They know how to worship God. And people say, well, it ain't in the form. No, it's not in the form. But let me tell you what, they were giving God their all. It would do us some good tonight, church. Dumble Church of God, to give God our all in a worship service. It would do us some good tonight. And I believe God would show up and honor our efforts, Brother Ted, if we would really give God our all. Let the mascara run. Let the men get a little sweaty, a little stinky. It'll be all right. God understands. I believe God loves that. I believe God loves it when we get all messed up. I just believe God honors that somehow. I believe He looks at us, Brother Turner, to look right there. Don't care how He looks. Don't care what He's saying. Don't care what other people think about Him. But He's worshiping me. He's got it. Hallelujah. He's got it. If there's any one thing that I want the Lord to say about me, I want Him to look at me one of these days and say, He's got it. That one there, He's got it. He ain't the smartest. He ain't the brightest. He ain't the most educated. And He can't talk real good sometimes. But He's got it. He's got it. That can be us, church. That can be you. I hope that's your prayer tonight, church. We don't have to have it all together, but as long as you got it. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews 13:15 says, by Him let us continually. That means ever, not ceasing, not stopping. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's why I wanted you to stand up tonight and worship the Lord. So I want you to continually offer a sacrifice of praise. Church, I preached on this. It's a sacrifice. And a sacrifice costs you something. When they sacrificed in the Old Testament, Sister Jenny, didn't something have to die? Last time I checked, something had to die. When you give God a sacrifice of praise, something has to die. Listen to me, church. They can say today that all this modern day worship, all you got to do, Brother Ted, is just play the right songs. You get the right song leader, you get the right worship leader, and God will just show up. We can just build it up ourselves. We don't need God to show up. But it costs something. When you give a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips, it should cost you something. Something in your life should have to die. And may I suggest to you tonight, the first thing that should die in our lives is pride. Oh. Pride of life will send you to places you don't want to go. You see, we like I said, church, we so heady and high-minded in the church house today, we just got God all figured out. We know the right number to push on the telephone button to get God to show up, Brother Turner. And we just know how to do it. We just don't need that old Holy Ghost stuff no more. Because we're so smart anymore, we just got God all figured out. We got books on everything anymore, Brother Ted. You want to know something, go to the library. Get on the internet, you can find a book about it. Oh, but I found out there's three words God spoke to me. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's three words tonight, Brother Ted. When God speaks to you in three words, He can speak more in those three words than all man can speak in 3 years. I didn't have much time to prepare, Sister Virginia. I could have dug out a whole lot more stuff than what I did. I preached for 3 hours tonight if I ain't careful. Oh, but my Bible tells me in Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us as an offering. He was frankincense. He gave Himself totally, church. How would you like it if Jesus Christ had the same salvation that you had? Ooh. That hit home, didn't it? How would you like it if Jesus would have been as sold out to God as you are? My goodness. Where's amens at now? Well, we got quiet, didn't we? Gut check, huh? I don't mean to be mean, but I'm serious. Stop and think about it, church. Jesus Christ gave Himself completely an offering. Gave Himself as a sacrifice. My Bible says He left heaven and became as a servant. He humbled Himself as a servant. Humbled Himself so much to the point of death. Even death on a cross, according to Scripture. He was sold out, church. He became true frankincense and his spiritual significance and a representation of a true frankincense. I wonder tonight, church, if we could really examine ourselves for just a few moments. You want real revival in your life, in your personal life, in your family, in your job site, and everywhere you go and what you do. I suggest to you tonight, number one, you give God your very best and you give it all to Him. Let Him have it. Number two, you become like frankincense. You let yourself become an offering to God. Give yourself completely to Him. Don't hold anything back and let yourself burn with the Holy Ghost fire like you've never burnt before. Be completely consumed by Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, that'll bring revival. As I found out today, ain't nothing that can't happen in the presence of God. I found out whenever you need something, you get in the presence of God and it'll happen. It may not happen the way you want it to or when you want it to or how you want it to, and it may not come from where you're expecting it to come from, but it will happen. I had a little sticker on my toolbox at work. It says, only prayer not answered is prayer not prayed. And sometimes God says no. That won't preach, will it? God says no. Saint frankincense was burned in worship to the Lord. Oh, listen, church. Frankincense was burned in worship to the Lord. Good stuff here. Thus, it should not surprise us to learn that fire is closely connected with holiness. We know that, don't we? We Pentecostal, amen. We got the little symbol of fire on our little Pentecostal sign. Fire is related to holiness. Seraphim stood above Him, each having six wings. With two, He covered His face. With two, He covered His feet. And with two, He flew. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth it's full of His glory, Isaiah 6:2-3. Oh, glory. Can I tell you what the Hebrew word for seraphim means? It means a fiery serpent. Boy, I could dig into that tonight, and I ain't got time to go into that, and I'm going to go on. But it's no mistake, Brother Turner, that holiness is related to fire. Because the more times you run that goal through that fire, the purer it gets. If I could go back and preach on that again, but I'm not going to. If you want to give God your best gold, use frankincense when you burn it. That way it's completely consumed. Oh, glory. I'm going on to myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Can I touch on the source of myrrh? Anyone know what myrrh is? Anyone know what myrrh is or how it come, where it comes from or how they get it? Anyone, raise your hand right now. I want to know this. No one in here knows where myrrh comes from. Oh, let me tell you what myrrh is. Myrrh comes from a root. comes from a root of a bush. And that root, Brother Turner, is that little bush is just an ordinary bush. But what they do is they take that bush. It's kind of like to us, old rednecks, it would be similar to ginseng, I would assume. You see the ginseng growing, and we all know how people dig ginseng in a certain season. They dig out the root. The root's quite valuable. The same with myrrh. Myrrh is just a little shrub-like stick. Doesn't get very big. It's not very pretty. Doesn't put off any sweet smell or no pretty flowers. But just a shrub. Just an ordinary shrub, I remind you. If you didn't know what it was to the naked eye, you would probably never pay attention to it, but it's still a shrub. And they dig this root out. And myrrh is used for anointing, and I'll get into that in just a moment, but I want you to understand the purpose and how they get myrrh. They take the root and they break the root off of the stick. And that root, myrrh, when they put that into the bowl and they begin to crush it, and they begin to squeeze it, and they begin to put pressure in it, it begins to emit a sweet fragrance that is like a sweet smell. Oh, let me tell you what, church, Jesus Christ was like myrrh. The more they beat on Him, the more they persecuted Him, the more they hated Him, the more they cast Him out, the sweeter the smell He gave off, church. And let me tell you what, you tonight can be just like myrrh. You may be just an ordinary stick. You may be just an ordinary little shrub, but deep down you have a root. Oh, hallelujah. You have a root growing deep down underneath you, that whenever the people in this world and the pride of this life and the enemy begins to beat on you and he begins to crush you and he begins to persecute you, church, let me suggest to you tonight, instead of giving off the old stick of this world, we need to be more like myrrh. We need to give off a sweet smelling fragrance. And because I can tell you tonight, church, you will catch more flies with honey than you ever will with vinegar. Myrrh was used in the anointing. See, first Jesus was given the gift of gold, symbolizing his divinity. Then they gave him frankincense, symbolizing his holiness. He was divine and he was holy. Lastly, he was given myrrh. Myrrh means bitterness. And it was used in perfumes, but also when embalming the dead. And as an antiseptic or to reduce pain, it is highly significant that the three gifts given to Jesus, or of the three gifts given to Jesus, only myrrh is mentioned at the beginning of his life, when the wise men gave it to him, and at the end of his life. Did you know myrrh was mentioned at the end of Jesus' life? Some people don't catch that. After Jesus had been crucified, his body was taken by Joseph of Arimathea. Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds of weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings and the spices, as in the burial custom of the Jews. John 19:39-34. But see, myrrh is different. It symbolizes suffering. It symbolizes trials. It symbolizes tribulations and afflictions. You see, the church of Smyrna is known as the suffering church. This makes sense when you realize that the name Smyrna comes from myrrh. There's your nugget. That'll preach. Amen. How many of you knew that the church of Smyrna comes from the word myrrh? It does. That's why they were the suffering church. You see, Jesus never escaped the myrrh, the persecutions throughout his entire life. No one has suffered more unjustly than he, and just as he was given the gift of myrrh by the wise men, so we too, along with the gift of gold and the gift of frankincense, are to receive the gift of myrrh, suffering from the hand of the Lord, the wisest of men. And it's not done to destroy us, but to teach us obedience. Suffering, trials, and tribulations and persecutions are a natural part of this life. Listen, church, indeed those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's 2 Timothy 3:12. But you see, we need to understand tonight, church, that just because we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that God has not left us, church. That's some misconceptions to some preaching that I hear today. I hear some feel-good preaching tonight, church, that goes contradictory to what the Word of God says. It says that if you're suffering a persecution, God's left you. He's not with you no more. And let me tell you what, church, that just because you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is still with you. Because you see, I read where God turned his back on his one and only begotten Son because of my sin. But yet let me remind you, 3 days later, that same Spirit that brought Jesus up out of the grave, it still resides in us today. You see, the Spirit of God has never left you, and he said he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Myrrh. Become as myrrh, church. If I could encourage you with a word tonight, give God your best. That golden offering that you give him your best. After you get saved, give him your best. Don't give him second best. Because you see, I found out that's what happens, Brother Turner. We're real good at preaching them in the church, but once they get in the church, we don't teach them how to live. Holiness is gone. Sanctification is not preached anymore. It's not taught. I'm sorry. I believe we need to be saved. We need to be sanctified, and we need to be filled full of the Holy Ghost. I just believe that. Call me old-fashioned if you want to. An old fogey. That's fine. That's just the way I believe, Brother Turner. I read the Bible, and that's the way I read it. I'm sorry. You can't convince me otherwise. Sister Jenny, you said it last night. You come too late to convince me otherwise. Because I've experienced it. We need to be give God our best. And we need to be totally consumed by Him like frankincense. Oh, and once you're totally consumed by Him, I found it easier to partake that Murray attitude of a suffering Christian. We're called to be long-suffering, right? I preached a sermon here one night about the gifts of the Spirit and long-suffering. Some of us said we were long-sufferers, and none of the rest of us wanted to admit it. We had never prayed for that gift. I go up here. The gifts of the Spirit. But you see, it's referring to Murray. Psalms 34 and 8 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit." Broken heart and a broken spirit, God's nigh to you. And you say, "Yeah, but you don't understand, preacher. My heart's breaking." Good, God's close to you. You say, "You don't know what I'm going through, preacher. You don't understand how broken I am." Good, you need to learn brokenness. You see, I found out if I learn how to break myself, God don't have to do it for me. You see, God won't let you get too built up and let what He don't break you. You hear what I'm saying? We get prideful and get high on ourselves and get too high on our old high horses, old timers used to say, and I found out God will break you. I'd rather break myself than let God do it.
Right.
So I found out it hurts when God does it. It costs me something when God does it. And it's not a lesson that you'll soon forget. Psalms 51 and 17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise." Did you hear that, church? It says the sacrifices of God are a broken heart and a broken spirit. I wonder when was the last time your heart was broke over something. See, this is something we've lost in the modern day church. And you say, "Well, we want revival, and this is a revival service." I understand it is, but let me tell you what, church. If we want true, real revival in the church, we have to get back to some of the things that we forgot how to do. And we forgot how to be broken. We have forgotten how to be broken. When was the last time you fell on your face and you took someone else's burden more serious than you took your own? You took someone else being in the hospital more serious than your own family member being in the hospital. I'm talking about really picking up that burden, Sister Jenny, and packing it like it was your own. And actually probably more important than your own. I know we all have lost family members in here. When was the last time you fell on your face and cried out for someone else's family member before you did your own? We've forgotten how to be broken before God, Brother Ted. We're all about me, my four, no more in this church. We need to understand that it's not about me, my four, no more, but it's about carrying one another's burdens. Because you see, I found out whenever I carry someone else's burden, God's pleased with me. He said, "You're broken for someone else and not of yourself." That's not selfish. That's selflessness. That's a suffering servant. We want to be like Jesus, right? Ephesians 5 and 1. "Be ye therefore imitators of God as dearly loved children." We don't want to suffer the persecutions that He suffered, Sister Jenny. When the persecutions come, we cry out to God, "God, deliver me from this. Get me out from this, under this. God, I don't deserve this." Don't we? When the persecutions come in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm not talking about the situations you get yourself in the flesh. I'm talking about true Christian persecutions. When they come, how many of us are quick to cry out to God and say, "God, deliver me from this. Get me out from under this." But yet we want to be like Christ. We want to be Christians. We want to be Christ-like. We want to be His disciples to take on the nature just like Him. Then you're going to have to learn to suffer like He did. That's not popular preaching, is it? But it's the truth. If you want to be truly like Christ, you're going to have to learn to give yourself completely like Him. You're going to have to give your very best, and it's going to cost you something. And you're going to have to give everything that you've got. You're going to have to be totally consumed, and you're going to have to learn how to suffer. Smile, everybody. We're going to end on a good note. Be all right, I'm coming down for a landing right now. Go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Church, I didn't come up here to beat on you, to be mean. But my Bible tells me that the three wise men, after they'd done what they came to do, they came to worship the Son of Man and give Him great and good gifts. They fell on their face before Him, Sister Jenny, and they worshiped Him. They recognized Him as the Son of God, the one and only begotten Son of God. Not conceived of man, but born of a virgin. They understood that. And once they did that, Brother Ted, my Bible tells me that they got back on their camels and they left. But they went back into their own country another way. Can I tell you what, tonight, church, we're not in our own country yet. Oh, but can I encourage you with a word tonight, church? Don't go the same way this world is going, but I encourage you, don't go back to this old world. Oh, let me tell you tonight, church, don't go back to this world, but go back into the old country. I'm talking about that country called heaven. When we cross over Jordan's River, go into that country and go another way. Go another way. Don't go the way of this world. You see what I'm saying tonight, church? I want you to grab a hold of that tonight, church. I want you to leave you with that thought. Don't go back to Herod. Herod represents this world tonight, church. Herod represents what you came from, the one who sent you. Because you see, Herod sent the wise men to spy out and find out who Jesus was, where He was at, so Herod could kill Him. And that's what the enemy's done. He sent us out into this whole world to find out who Jesus is, to find out where the Christians are, so we could try to tear them down and destroy them, but all of a sudden, some of us got converted. Some of us got sold out. Don't go back to this old world tonight, church. Don't go back the same way that you came. Go a different route. That route's Jesus tonight. That route to salvation. Go that way. Go back into that country that you came from. Where did we come from? My Bible tells me that He formed me in my mother's womb. He did, not Satan. He did. That means I came from Him to this world. And one of these days, if I live right, I'm going back to Him. You hear what I'm saying? Go back to that country. Oh, but go the way Jesus went. Amen. You want to hear what I'm saying? Stand to your feet tonight. I'm going to close. Can I get someone to come to music real quick? Hallelujah. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe real revival will come when we give God our best. Real revival will come when we become a sacrifice, when we become completely consumed by Him. Real revival will come when we learn how to suffer, like the suffering servant that He was. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for one moment. I look around this room and I hope and pray that every heart is where they're supposed to be. If you're lost and undone tonight, I want you to put your hand up and put it right back down. So pray for me, preacher. Look around this room right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. Search your own heart right now. I think I know each and every one of you, but I want to be sure. I always like to give an altar call for salvation before we move on to other things, just to make sure. You never know. You where you're supposed to be tonight with the Lord. Everything good. If you breathe your last, you're going home to heaven. No questions about it, no doubts. No mites or maybes, but absolutely, positively sold out. No hesitation. If I was to come around and ask each one of you individually, you say, yes, would be your answer. On my way to heaven right now. Without a doubt. Everyone. Good. The next invitation, the most important one that I come to give tonight, and this message was for you tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Church, listen to me real close. The Lord spoke this word to me. He gave this to me. This is not something that I concocted, that I cooked up on my own, that I got off the internet. The Lord gave this to me for someone, for here tonight. God don't work by accident or coincidence. When I was contacted the other day, I already had the word. Didn't even know where it was for, what it was for, who it was for. But I already had the word. This was for this church tonight, for right here. You're not sold out. You may be saved, but you're not sold out. You've not been giving God your best. This altar's open. You've not been giving God the gold of your life, the very finest thing of your life, the very best, the first fruits of your life. You've not been giving it to Him. You've been holding it back a little bit. It's all right. We all fall and stumble sometimes. This altar is open if you want to come and pray. I'll meet you here. Brother Ted, I'll meet you here. Search your heart right now. It's between you and the Lord. It's not between me and you. I've got nothing to do with it. I'm just bringing the message of what God gave me to bring tonight. Have you been giving God the gold, the very best? If you're not, this altar is open. You've been giving God the frankincense of your life. You've been completely consumed by Him. You have been burning on fire for the Lord, the way you should be. If you've not, church, this altar is open. Don't tarry tonight, church. You want true revival in your life? It's not about the church. Let revival start with you. Let revival fire burn inside of you and watch it get contagious and catch on to everyone around you. You want to burn with that Holy Ghost fire again? Maybe you've never burnt with that Holy Ghost fire and you desire to seek that. This altar's open. We lay hands on you and pray for you. I believe in the saints laying hands on you and praying for people. God moves in those situations, church. God hears and answers the prayer of the righteous. Maybe you went through some things lately and you want to be like that suffering servant that I talked about. You want to give some myrrh off in your life. You want your life to be a sweet smell to God. Maybe it's not been a sweet smell to God here lately. And I know we all suffer persecutions, but maybe you've not suffered persecution in quite the Christ-like manner that you would like to. Maybe you want that improved in your life. You want to be give off that sweet smell that myrrh gave off when you're crushed and persecuted. This altar's open tonight, church. Heavenly Father, Lord, I have given this message the very best I could do. Father, I know you want to do a work in us, but God, I know it's up to us to ask. Father, you won't do anything that we don't ask you to do. Father, I pray over this congregation right now, Father. Lord, if there's one in here, Lord, that's desiring more of you, they're really hungry for you, Father, that they would come to this altar right now, Father. Lord, if they're looking for more, they've just been kind of walking through the motions, going through the motions tonight, church. Lord, I just pray, Father, Lord, that you'd have your way in their lives. Lord, break down those walls of pride. Let them become obedient. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, Lord, have your way in this service, Father. Lord, you sent this word for someone tonight, Father. Lord, I pray, God, Lord, right this very moment, you begin to convict hearts, touch lives, move in situations. Lord, break bonds, destroy the yokes, Father. Let that anointing settle down right here in this house tonight, Father. Let this be the best part of the service. Let us forget the message, God, but let us remember the messenger, Father. Lord, that your Son, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, who sent the word, Lord, through and by him. And Lord, I pray, God, tonight, Lord, that this right here would be the best part of our service. Lord, that you would show up in this minute, in this very moment, in Jesus' name.